Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
What a beautiful worship celebration of our Savior. When you think of that term, breath of heaven, you know, I just think, what an appropriate term for baby Jesus. Breath of heaven. I want everyone right now, just take a breath, just a normal breath, okay, and let it go. Those of you who are joining us online, go ahead, you do the same, all right? We want to welcome you today. Thanks for joining us for our Christmas service. Everyone just take a breath and let it out. Do you realize that in the past hour, you have taken between 700 and 1,200 breaths? That in a 24-hour period, that ranges between 17,000 and 28,000 breaths that you have taken. A breath is something that's unnoticeable, something that is something kind of very small. You don't really hear it, you don't see it. I mean, if you're looking carefully, you notice it, but it can be seem so insignificant. How much like baby Jesus, who came as a small baby, born in a small town of Bethlehem that was inconsequential, who was laid in a small feeding trough, and there was no fanfare, no royal proclamation, no palace, and he would have gone unnoticed had not the angels appeared to the shepherds out in the fields. And yet the shepherds were considered some of the lowest of society. So God didn't announce it to kings and politicians and educators and academia. He announced it to a very small thing. It was very unnoticeable, just like a breath. But if you stop breathing, then that breath becomes very noticeable, doesn't it? If you can't breathe, you notice it. Your breath gives you life, and that's what Jesus does. Jesus gives us life. Without Jesus, we don't have life. Jesus is the breath of heaven. This morning, we've been focusing on Jesus because he truly is the reason for the season. And as we wrap up our Christmas series 3:16 today, we're going to be focusing in on Jesus. What we've been doing for the past several weeks is we've been unpacking some truths from the most recognizable verse in the Bible, John 3:16. I'd like you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to quote this together, and if you don't know it, it's on the screen, and we'll just use the version on the screen so that we all get it, because I know there's different versions out there, all right? Let's go together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the breath of heaven, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, what child is this? It's a child that changed the world, and I pray today that Jesus, you would change lives here, both here in the building and those watching with us online. Be glorified and open our eyes to the breath of heaven. Amen. Amen. And before you're seated, find someone right around you. Just wish them a Merry Christmas as you're sitting down, all right? I, too, want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. My wife Rebecca and I, along with our entire staff, wish all of you a season of love, joy, and peace, and pray that this next week that you have with family and friends is a very blessed time, and you just experience the reality of God's love in a greater way in your life. So Merry Christmas to you all. Hey, 3 weeks ago we began our series with the thought of For God. And we learned how God is unchangeable, and because of that, he's dependable. We learned how God is eternal, and so we will enjoy eternity with him. He is omnipresent. He will always be with us. He's omnipotent, so he has the power to protect us. And he is omniscient, so he knows our every need. 2 weeks ago, we focused in on so loved, God so loved. We looked at the definition of love, the desire of love, and the delight of love. And friends, you are God's delight and his desire. He loves us. That's why he gave his son. Last week, we looked at the gifts God gave. And we said there was many gifts, but we focused in on six of them. We talked about the gift of grace, the gift of courage, the gift of enough, the gift of humor. Speaking of humor, how did Mary and Joseph know how much the baby Jesus weighed? Do you know? Because they had a way in the manger. I know, don't quit my day job. 40,000 comedians out of work and I'm trying to be funny, okay? He also gave us the gift of a meaningful life and the gift of peace. And today, I'd like us to share about his son as we wrap up our series 3:16. For God so loved, he gave his son. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. If you're looking at your message notes this morning that are back of the worship program that you received when you walked in, or if you're using the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to the events page there and find Radius Church and all of our notes right there. But point number one this morning is we talk about Jesus. Who is this child? What is this child? First of all, Jesus is the perfect gift sent to the earth at the perfect time. Jesus is the perfect gift sent to the earth at the perfect time. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian church in chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Friends, these verses give us the nutshell of the gospel. They tell us God's plan, his purpose and position. It tells us that we are, look at this, verse 5, he might redeem those. We are redeemed, that we might receive adoption. We are received, and then we're heirs, rewarded. I want you to say, redeemed, received, rewarded. That's what Jesus has done for us. He is the perfect gift, and he came at the perfect time in history. When the fullness of time had come, Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the angels rejoiced, the shepherds sang songs of delight, and the wise men worshiped as they presented precious gifts to the Christ child. Do you realize God had the coming of his son planned all along? From the beginning of time, God knew that he would send his son Jesus, and this singular gift would change the entire world. It changed the calendar from BC to AD, and God's gift is still changing lives today. Each of us can have our life changed by experiencing God's love, his forgiveness, and his leadership in our life. And if you haven't received that gift, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so at the close of our service this morning. Isaiah the prophet predicted Christ's birth. And when he did, it shows us the second thing we're going to see in our study notes this morning about who Jesus is, and that Jesus is both Messiah and God. Jesus is both Messiah and he's God. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Friends, Jesus is God. There are many in the world who think Jesus was a good person. He was a great teacher. He was a prophet. And they believe these things, but there are many who don't believe that he is God. Jesus is God. Emmanuel, we heard the song sing today, O come, Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus was God. He was also Messiah. Let's keep reading here. It says, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is referring to the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come from the line of David. He's going to be king over Israel and the entire world, and Israel will become a world power. That's what Israel believed 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. They are looking for a Messiah, and they are still looking for a Messiah today. They missed Jesus coming the first time because they thought he was coming as a king. What they don't realize is that Jesus first had to come as a suffering servant. He came as the Lamb of God. He's coming a second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to rule. Jesus is coming, and he is the Messiah. He is born of the house of David. That's why Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, because their ancestrally roots were of David, so they had to go to David's hometown of Bethlehem. We see in verse 7, it says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus, that little baby born in a manger, was God, and he's Messiah. Someday he's coming back to earth to receive his church unto himself. He'll take us to heaven, and then the world will enter into a period of tribulation, which is God pouring out his wrath on the earth for rejecting him. And during that time, a man will arise whom the Bible calls the Antichrist. He will claim to be the Messiah. He will have supernatural power. He'll be able to do miracles. Actually, Satan, Lucifer, the devil himself, will inhabit him and live inside of him, and he'll have this power, and he will want the world to worship him, and many in the world will worship him. They'll take his mark, and they'll worship him, not realizing this is not the Messiah. This is not the Christ. Christ is actually the Greek term for Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew term. Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to defeat the Antichrist with the word, and then he's going to set up his reign for 1,000 years. Jesus is going to reign as king on the earth. All of this is in the Bible. And yet, so many times today, we don't think too much about Jesus coming back to rule on the earth. We're just thinking about, what do we have to do now? Well, you know, I have to get my year-end reports in. I have to finish up my Christmas shopping. These are my plans for the new year. And we go through spring, and it's like, these are the house projects that I need to attend to this summer. And summer comes along. This is where we're going to go on vacation. And we come the fall, and it's like, you know, what do I need to get done in the house before it gets bad? What do we need to get the kids ready for school? We're thinking about everything going on in this life. But there is a plan that God has on his calendar that exceeds our plan, and that plan is for Jesus to come again and to be the Messiah and to rule and to usher in true world peace. Amen. Jesus is the God, and he is Messiah. Those are the truths of Christmas, of who this baby was that was born in a manger. There's a third truth we see about Jesus, and that Jesus is fully human. You see, not only was he God, but he came as a baby, and he was fully human. Jesus was a man, flesh and blood like you and me. John, who was Jesus' best friend, said in the first chapter of his gospel, verse 14, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is human, and because of that, he understands you and I. Jesus gets us, friends. Sometimes we think, well, he was the Son of God. He had the perfect life. He knew sorrow. He is a human, and he understands the trials, the struggles, the problems that you and I go through. And so we can take heart today knowing that he understands us because he is fully human. He is God in the flesh. There's a fourth truth this morning we learn about Jesus, and that he came to save us from our sins. The scripture verse we read this morning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "She will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus to save us. Many years ago, I received a Christmas card, and it had a poem in it, and the poem's up here. It's about our greatest need. And it has always stuck with me. It says, if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need were for technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need were for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need were for money, God would have sent an economist. But God knew our greatest need would be forgiveness, so he sent a Savior. Friends, Jesus came to forgive us of our sin and deliver us from its power to set us free so we can have victory over every temptation. Jesus came to save us. Do you realize that is our greatest gift that we need? Every day I need the gift of forgiveness in my life. You know, some of you might say, I need a new dishwasher, I need a new mixer, I need a new car. You've got different things you want on your Christmas list. I need this. Friends, what you really need is Jesus and his forgiveness. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about Rudolph or Figgy Pudding. All right? It's about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Because God knew our greatest need was forgiveness of sin. John said also in his gospel, chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Friends, the reason the world is so dark right now is because the world doesn't have Jesus in it. That's why it's lacking joy and peace and wisdom and direction and comfort, because people are without Christ. We're looking to government to provide for us, or we're looking to some kind of glory that we can accomplish, or we're looking to greenbacks and gold that we can fashion into an idol and worship and say, this will provide for me, this will give me peace, this will give me security. But friends, there is no security in anyone or anything other than Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Friends, sadness, sickness, and sorrow reign over our land today just as it did back in Christ's time. In Jesus' time, there were wicked politicians, there were unbearable tax burdens, gross immorality, and a ruthless leader called Caesar who delighted in crucifying wrongdoers. And friends, that world was the world that God chose to send his son to. Because he loved the world. You think about it. Would you send your child who's living in a perfect place into that world? It'd be tough for me as a dad to do that. But God so loved that he gave his son to save us from our sins. Jesus' love is still changing lives today. Once was a little girl, she was in Sunday school, and her teacher had just told the story about Lazarus rising from the dead, that until Jesus got there, he was dead. And when Jesus came, he rose from the dead. And she threw out the question the teacher did, "So what do you learn from this story?" And she says, "You know, it's a really good thing to have Jesus hanging around." How many have found that in your life? It's good to have Jesus hanging around. And not just hanging around, but being your best friend, because God so loved, he wants a relationship with you. It's all about a relationship, not religion. It's not just, I come to church on a Sunday morning and I think about God for an hour, hurry up, preacher, get done so I can go home. Oh, the Cowboys are starting to, or the Broncos are starting to play. No, It's not just an hour a week of religion. It's 24/7 relationship because God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. How I wish people would fill their lives with Jesus this Christmas season, and not just on a day or a week, but all year long for the rest of their lives. If people filled their lives with Jesus, fighting and arguing would end, hatred and prejudice would end, brokenness and suffering would end, respect, honor, integrity, and purity would mark our lives and our relationships. People would truly love one another and act as if they really knew God. We would put down the sword and we would pick up the cross. We would forgive those who have offended us and begin to pray for them. We would let go of grudges, anger, and hatred in our heart. And we wouldn't just exchange gifts, but we would be a gift of love throughout the year. Just as we heard that word, that prophecy that came in the middle of our worship time today, that you are God's gift to be extended to people. You are God's gift this morning. Friends, Jesus didn't come to this world so that life would be easy or that we'd have the right president. Okay? Jesus came into this world not to make your life better. Yes, when you receive Christ, there is joy and forgiveness. There's acceptance. There's adoption into God's family. But Jesus didn't come to make life better. Jesus came to save us. Because the wages of sin is death. And all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the reason for the season. You know, for the past 4 weeks, I have walked us through the 8 most important words in the Bible. For God so loved, He gave His Son. But if you ever thought about what is the context, what is the setting of this most recognizable verse in the Bible? It starts with a man named Nicodemus, and it begins at the beginning of John chapter 3. Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee who had a lot more questions than answers, and his life and thoughts were filled with confusion and discouragement, a lot like people nowadays, because he was living in a society under a ruthless leader. His soul needed answers. The government wasn't of the people, by the people, for the people. It was for themselves. And he went to Jesus in the middle of the night. He's searching for answers about life, about God, about the future. His world was dark and he needed some light. And this is what he said in John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, he came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. You know, I think there's a lot of people like Nicodemus. They know Jesus was from God. They know that. And many of those maybe even might believe that Jesus is God. However, it's not enough just to know that Jesus is from God. Many people, while they know that, they don't know God personally. They don't have a relationship with him. And so, Jesus, he knows our thoughts and our motives. In verse 3, he says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Now realize, this is the first time in the history of the world that anyone has ever heard the term born again. And just like what it did with Nicodemus, it would cause confusion. He was befuddled. He had no idea what it meant. This is what he thought. He thought in verse 4, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. How many moms want to give birth to your children again? How about give birth to them as a teenager or an adult? No. I remember when our daughter, our firstborn, Erin, when she came into the world, my wife had a few false alarms leading up to it, and we came to the due date when she was born. I'm at the office finishing up a newsletter. We were youth pastors in Salt Lake City, Utah. It was our first position in ministry. And she calls, I don't know where I was, but the secretary took the call, and she said, "Your wife called, you need to get home now. It's time." And it's like, okay, hurry up. I finished up what I had, I was done, raced out of the church, got in the car, drove home, and I walk into the house, and my wife's on the telephone laughing and talking, and I thought, okay, it's another false alarm. Well, she gets off the phone, and she says, "These contractions are different than what I've had before," and we begin to time them and do all that stuff, and some, you know, sometimes they were 12 minutes apart, and then 2 minutes apart, 5, 8, 11, 3, you know, 6. I mean, it was all over the board. It's not the nice little, if they come every 5 minutes and they last this long, you know, you need to get to the hospital, all right? Or if your water breaks and her water hadn't broken. And yet, it seemed like with every contraction, they were getting a little bit more intense than the previous one. So we decided, let's go to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and you know how the staff is when you have a first-time mom. Especially when there's already been two false alarms, okay? You know, these things take time, everything's okay. They're just moving along at their jolly old pace. They do the examination, and she's dilated to 7. And boy, did they swing into action. I mean, within an hour, Our daughter was born, and I remember as Rebecca was going through the birthing process, she grabbed my arm, and she dug her fingernails into my arm. Now, this next part she doesn't remember, but I do, and I don't know which of us had the trauma, that I don't know who's right, but I remember her saying, "You did this to me!" She denies it, so I don't know if it's fact. Maybe I made it up in the trauma. You know, I still have the fingernail. No, I don't. I'm kidding about that. But I remember our daughter being born. And here's the thing. Jesus, he goes on to say in verse 5, "Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit." When he says born of the water, he's referring to a physical birth. The bag of waters breaks and then the baby comes. That hadn't happened. We didn't know if our daughter was coming because the bag of waters hadn't broken. And so Jesus said that unless they're born of water and the Spirit, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, "You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but it cannot tell you where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Friends, in your notes this morning, the truths of John 3:16 are concealed in the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and the foundational truth that in order to receive eternal life, we must be born again. We must be born again. We are born once of a natural birth, but then we need a second birth. It's not just that we're born, the bag of waters breaks. We need a second spiritual birth, one that keeps us from going to hell, one that causes us to be forgiven of our sins. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There are so many people who read that verse and say, Jesus came into the world, God is love, I'm good, I can live the way I want. But you've got to look back, rewind to verse 3, where Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't have eternal life. You see, just as God is love and he loves us, if you're in a love relationship with your husband or your wife, then you're not going to do things that hurt them. You're going to honor them. That's what love. Love honors and obeys and cherishes. That's why Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You see, love isn't just this nice feeling that God is love. There is a commitment, a devotion to what God says is right and wrong, because sin mars our relationship with God. And when we say, "God, I need to be born again," when you recognize that, and some of you might be thinking, "How do I be born again?" In your notes this morning, being born again simply means accepting God's love and leadership into your life. That's what it means to be born again. You accept his love and his leadership. Jesus linked the two together, and that's how we escape hell and eternal punishment, and we will live with him in heaven. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. This is how we become born again. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, that Jesus came in the world to save the world of their sins, that he died, he took my death penalty upon himself, and when I confess I've sinned and I need him to save me, but then I also confess him as Lord. That term Lord is a Bible term meaning boss. I'm surrendering my life and I'm putting Jesus in charge. And that's what I do. I say, Jesus, it's not me anymore. I want you to be in charge of my life. I want to walk and follow your direction because I love you, because I realize what you did for me. Friends, this Bible verse, for God so loved the world, and this Christmas story that Jesus came and was born and he died, we can get so used to it. But do you realize the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us? I pray this Christmas season you have a new appreciation for God's gift of Jesus in our lives. It's not by rites, it's not by rituals, it's not by religion, it's not joining a church, it's not passing a test, it's not becoming a member, it's not paying a bunch of dues or fees or doing a bunch of good works and hoping they offset all of the bad things you've done. None of those things earn you eternal life. Before I was born again, I was religious. I was baptized, went to church and took communion every week, did everything my church said, tried to be a good person, but you know what? God seemed distant and far away. There was no relationship because I had a problem that I didn't realize. It's what the Apostle Paul talked about when he wrote to the Ephesians and he says, this is what you were like before you were born again. It says in Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And you see, when we're not born again, we're dead in our sins, and that's why God doesn't seem alive. That's why he seems distant. And you can be a religious person, but I knew I was missing something. And maybe there's some of you here today, you know that Jesus is from God. You believe in him. Maybe you even believe he is God. You believe the whole birth and Bethlehem story, but something's missing in your life. And maybe you've been a religious person, but you realize today there is no relationship. Friends, Jesus said, I have come, John 10:10, that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Friends, Jesus is the best gift you can ever receive. No other gift compares to him. Nothing you receive this Christmas season will be a better gift than Jesus. Not a new car, not a new house, not a trip to the Bahamas. There is nothing as great a gift as Jesus. Jesus gives us the right to become God's children. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, listen, not of blood, not of physical birth, nor of the will of flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. Those who are born again come into God's family. I wish I could give every single person in the world the gift of Jesus and they would receive it. Because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You can't begin to describe how awesome Jesus is. This morning, as I promised earlier, I want to give every person here an opportunity to receive that gift. God's gift of love that he sent through his Son. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you love us and you didn't want us to go to hell. You created hell for the devil and all of his fallen angels, and you died. You sent Jesus to die for our sin. But I pray today we would not view that as a get out of jail free card like a Monopoly game, but instead we would see it's a relationship of love and of holiness, where we surrender our lives and we desire to love and obey and follow Jesus because he gave everything for us. This morning, how many of you that are either here live or you're watching with us online, you'd say, Craig, as you've been talking about Jesus today, I realize that I am not born again. I don't have this relationship that you've been talking about. Maybe God has seemed distant, even though you've been a religious person, even though you've attended church for much or most of your life. Maybe some of you, this is your first time in church, this Sunday before Christmas, and you just felt like you needed to come, check out what it is, it's the thing to do. But it was God who drew you here. It was God who wants a relationship with you, and he's done everything possible. All you have to do is receive it, and you receive it by saying, I admit I'm a sinner, and God, forgive me, and I receive your leadership. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe he's raised from the dead. He's alive today, and I need to love and worship him. If that's you this morning, and you want to become born again, you want this relationship with God and have Jesus come and live with you and be your friend with no one looking around, I'd like you just to lift your hand up this morning and say, that's me, Craig. How many here this morning in the house would say, I need to be born again. I need to be forgiven of my sin. If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Maybe you know you're not right with God and you need God to forgive you. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Those of you who are watching online, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand and just begin to say, God, I'm sorry. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Jesus, I want you to save me from my sin. I give you control of my life. You're my leader. How many else in this room today you would say that I need a relationship with God? I need his forgiveness. Just slip your hand up and you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today? I'm going to say a prayer, and I'd like all of us to repeat this prayer together. No one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I deserve hell. But you love me, and you died for my sin, and to give me eternal life. Please forgive me. I turn away from my sin. I receive your love and your leadership. I confess you as Lord. I put you in charge of my life. Make me born again. Give me new life this Christmas. Thank you, God, for saving me from my sin. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.